Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazzala. With me, as always, it's Kristen Studdard.
You know, that is me. And Joe, I realize that you start every show like that. Have you done that since our very first episode?
I think so. I maybe didn't say it was a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the very first one, but I felt necessary, so I think I started doing it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I love it, and it gets us right into it. It also, you put on a little bit of an NPR voice when you begin.
Oh, is that why you're always laughing every time
always,
I do it?
Because you get like so serious. You'll be over here just chilling out, and then you're like, hello, everyone, and welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, it's very, you get
it's
in your
professional.
Little, yeah, your pro voice.
You're shocked every time I show a little bit of professionalism.
Truly.
We're back at it.
This is it. Season two, baby.
Yeah, and we're back to business as usual. Ceremony season is over. We're no longer talking about the induction. And now we're just talking about artists that are not in the hall and judging the shit out of them.
Judging.
And very excited to have our guest here today. She's a writer, comedy person. You might know her from College Humor, among other places. Siobhan Thompson.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Siobhan, welcome.
Thank you so much.
You know, I think this is going to tie in well with something we talk about a lot, but most of our guests don't know anything about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I know almost nothing about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, only that it exists and Tina Turner is not in it for some reason.
She's in with Ike, which
she's
is...
Oh, no, yeah, that's so much more problematic than her not being in it at all.
Yep, nope. Nope, she's not. She's only in it as a duo of Ike and Tina.
Mm-hmm. You know, all of those famous Ike and Tina hits that we all love so much.
Joe will go.
Well, the problem is that, like, Proud Mary and River Deep Mountain High and
so
all like
that's
the classic.
Those are the two classics.
And Nutbush City Limits and like all the stuff from the 60s and 70s is with Ike.
And that's like when the people who vote in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
because they're all 100 years old.
Yes, it is. Old white guys. So
and they live in Cleveland. That's where it is, right?
The museum is in Cleveland.
I'm just assuming that everybody is a 100-year-old man that lives in Cleveland who is also very white.
That might be the, like, if you had to, you know, make a golem of the of the Rock Hall, it would be that. But they're trying to diversify. Here's the thing. I grew up in the 80s. And so, I mean, What's Love Got to Do with It? Those kind of songs are what I, like, know Tina from, you know.
Yeah.
And also
Mad Max.
And we don't need another hero. Exactly. Well, and here, because
take a breath.
The other thing about these Ike and Tina hits, it's like, yes, but who do we recognize from the Ike and Tina songs? Tina. Mm-hmm. It's all Tina.
Yeah. If you could replace the Ike parts with pretty much any other human being, but there's no replacing Tina on those songs.
Very
Tina
true.
Is irreplaceable. Double induct her. And take Ike out, actually.
Yeah.
Remove Ike.
Yeah,
remove
Roman Ike. Polanski Ike from that.
From the institution in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Remove him. Do it.
Yeah.
All right, that's my new, this is going to be one of my new crusades. I mean, I've been on the double induct Tina for a long time.
As soon as you knew.
As soon as I knew, I got very mad.
Wait, can I ask why you know that Tina is not in there?
I don't know. My brain just absorbs useless facts.
Okay. It came up on Twitter recently.
I think it's the Bette Midler kind of crusade on Twitter has been permeating other people's conversations.
Is that because Bette Midler also wants to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or is that she's just outraged
with
that Tina Turner
is believe.
Is
right?
Cher not in the Hall
she's
of Fame?
Cher is not.
That is an outrage. But Sonny is for some reason, so who knows?
That'd be so funny if they decided to put Sonny in by himself. First congressional work.
It really would not surprise me. They've done a lot of bullshit.
Ugh.
But yes, it started, I think it started with the Cher.
Yeah, so Bette Midler kind of just went off online and was like, I can't believe Cher isn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I can't. Oh, now people are telling me that Tina Turner isn't in by herself. That's wild. Let's have a year of all women inducted. And that got a lot of people going, slay.
Hashtag slay.
It's good. I'm glad that Bette's out there talking about this, because it gets people to...
Yeah.
To like, it like got it into your consciousness, yeah. And you would never have willingly learned anything about the Rock Hall.
Bette Midler is always on the right side of history. Almost always. I feel like she did say something problematic she's like probably... 6 months ago. But other than that, she's always on the right side of history.
Oh, and she's been to
someone
these...
Someone is digging up her tweets right
now.
Oh,
no.
I'm sure she's said some things.
Yes.
But it's okay. We forgive her.
Yeah. Bette Midler, we forgive you.
Yeah. Hashtag forgive Bette.
She has been to the induction ceremonies before, though, and I think that's why
she has inducted people as
Her opinion.
That's badass. I feel like getting Bette Midler to induct you into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the most rock and roll thing that you could do.
Joe disagrees.
It's not that I disagree. It's just the most rock and roll.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think of Bette as like the most rock and roll of all the people that ever lived.
No, I mean, think that's why it's so funny. It's a fuck you to the institution of rock and roll.
It's
subversive.
Yeah.
That's right. Also funny to think of Bette Midler as super subversive.
Yeah.
Because she's pretty, like, to me, she's like light rock mainstream, you know?
Yeah.
Cabaret.
Yeah, she's mom rock.
Yeah, she is. And maybe that's why she'll never be in, because the Rock Hall is dedicated to dad rock.
Right.
It's for daddies.
Not
mommies.
Daddies only. Mommies, no thank you.
It's not mom. Yeah. It's not mom rock. Like... Pat Benatar.
But Pat Benatar is the most dad rock
of the mom rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has a shot.
Yeah. She's like on the scale. She leans towards daddy.
So typically, our guests don't know anything about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I feel like it's doubly so for your case. And we talk about this a lot. The Rock Hall is a very American institution.
It's such an American institution.
And
it's because it's also fully unnecessary. We don't need this. It's not a thing that anybody needs.
Yeah.
But it's a thing we love, Siobhan.
Yeah, no, sure.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You had a good time at
it's
the induction.
It's a thing that Joe loves. I had a good time.
Also,
I'm going underwater. You can watch me drown right now. Like, it's happened. It's because I'm weighted down by all of the facts that I have now, all of this knowledge and all of these opinions.
It has changed you.
It has.
You're changing.
Slowly.
And it's a metamorphosis.
But you're reminding me that it doesn't matter, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Well, even when British artists are inducted, they don't seem to really care.
No. Well, because it's just not a thing that...
Now tell our listeners, they probably have picked up on this.
It's like a Lifetime Achievement Award, basically.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But they have already gotten so many Lifetime Achievement Awards. People love giving people Lifetime Achievement Awards. They make up award ceremonies just to give people Lifetime Achievement Awards.
But what about a place full of Lifetime Achievement Awards where there are no other awards? There are only Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Right, and also just like some jackets. Is that what's there?
They do not get the Hall of Fame.
My image of it is that it's basically a Planet Hollywood or a Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah,
but with
there is so there's the museum and then there's these induction ceremonies, which are oddly separate. And with the museum, it's like anything can be in there. Like you can have Britney Spears' jumpsuit. Or whatever. She's obviously not inducted into the Rock Hall, but like you can put whatever from music, you know, people who have been overlooked, their shit is in there. It's just kind of a museum for
rock. You can have the Scorpions guitar band.
Yeah, exactly. But then the inductions themselves are more of who makes it to the list. You know, the hallowed ground of...
Joe's eyes lit up when he said the word list. Ooh, Joey loves a list.
You know, I think one of the things that is kind of nice about the hall is you say, you know, all these artists are getting Lifetime Achievement all the time. Occasionally, you do get a group that has never really gotten the recognition they deserve. Like
Bette Midler.
The Zombies is what I'm thinking. A group that when they were around... nobody was really paying attention to them to the degree that they are now. And then they get this nice thing after decades of always kind of missing their moment of they finally get recognized for something. And even though they are British, some recognition is enough for them to be like, okay. But then when it's someone like Radiohead, they're like, we're not going to show up. And they didn't show up.
Yeah, but Radiohead are shitty little bitches. I love Radiohead, but they are some self-serious little brats.
They don't care.
I actually was, I looked up Radiohead for this because I was like, is Radiohead Britpop? Do they count as Britpop? And the first thing was like Tom York, whole article being like, I fucking hate Britpop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Britpop fucking sucks.
But I feel like, I mean, no, yeah. What song of Radiohead would be Britpop?
Well, except for they are British and they were making music from 1994 to 97, which is when Britpop was happening.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So they're in that
they're
sort of
Brit
oeuvre.
And they are pop.
Well, yeah. They were popular, but I don't know about, like, I just mean like pop in the kind of like pop music.
In the traditional
like,
sense.
Like what is their most poppy song? What, Creep? Like what is Radiohead's most poppy song?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Britpop is somewhat of a difficult term to cover because I feel like there are, like, are you like Spice Girls Britpop or are you Oasis Britpop? Those are two very different bands. Mm-hmm.
Right, but they're both I think Britpop. Like, for example, like any Oasis song is going to be way more poppy than a Radiohead song. Like literally any Oasis song.
Yeah, I think that that's fair.
Especially from that era, right. From like What's a Story. I feel like any song. To me, just Radiohead, maybe they're well,
you know what?
Rock
they,
and roll.
When,
I
would
mean,
say they're pretty
Radiohead.
Definitively rock and roll. I think one of the things about Radiohead, though, that maybe would take them out of the Britpop category is their recorded music doesn't read as super British to me.
Oh.
The way Oasis and Blur, their songs sound very definitively when they sing, they sound very British.
Yes, that's true. Vocally, they're not
like Pulp or like
yeah,
all
they're not
of those
singing
kind of
in a British accent necessarily. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas,
like Green Day might be more Britpop than Radiohead.
Yeah. Yeah, based on sound alone.
Yeah.
But I think maybe a little bit of it has to do with standing firm.
Right.
And
like
even
I am
leaning,
British, and I am talking about my Britishness in my songs.
Yeah, leaning into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Speaking of, our listeners might have picked up on this. You are not American.
I'm not. I'm from a very tiny village in the southwest of England.
Oh,
it's where I'm from.
Neat.
Just outside of Bath.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. Oh,
it's one of the places that you go to. Yeah. It's a lot of tourists.
Well, and I don't bring this up very often.
I'm about to kill myself.
I did live abroad and I have traveled abroad.
One of those.
I did a semester in London when I was in college
right
and then I lived in Edinburgh for a year out of college. And I went
and
to, but during
I'm
the payday of Britpop.
Lowering myself
this,
into
it,
a
this,
bath.
It, this actually,
wait, you're slitting your thrists before you get in the bath?
I think
you're supposed to be in the bath and then slit your
wrist. Hey, welcome to America.
And he slit his right wrist first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Coriolis effect.
But the first time I ever went to the UK. Gosh, listen up, guys. I really have.
For the listeners, what does UK stand for, Kristen?
Well, it's United Kingdom. It's a triad of. Okay, regardless, the first time I went, I went to London with my cousin when I was 16. And I bought, now that's what I call music, volume.
God.
Like, it was probably 45 at that point. It was like 97 or 98 when I went.
97 was probably like 36.
Oh,
yeah,
wait,
you're
the,
right. I think it was like 36.
Because
the
that
UK started
way
earlier.
Yes,
yeah.
So it started way earlier.
They didn't even exist in America when I got mine. And it had, but I just was like, what is this
I'm laughing
compilation?
At saying it didn't exist in the America. That's what I was laughing
Did
at.
Did I say the America?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
I have been looking for those like now 34 through now 38 like compilations on Spotify from specifically the UK ones,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And I have not found one, and I think I might have to go and like find a playlist somewhere and plug it in
and
for
recreate.
Myself.
I wonder where my CD is. It was a double CD.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because they were double CDs.
And the first CD was more poppy and then the second CD is slightly more indie.
Yes. And that was, I remember on that CD, that was Karma Police was on it. And I was like, this band is cool.
Yeah. Those albums had cool bands on them.
And they had like also very weird like British electronic pop music that I would not have been exposed to. I am trying to remember like Murder on the Dance Floor.
Oh yeah.
Or I don't know if that song was on there. Or like
Sarah Beckett.
Yeah, yes, yes. Beckett Hawkins.
Something very posh. Her mom was a Blue Peter presenter.
Murder on the Dance Floor. Like very British. Yeah. It's Murder on the Dance Floor. But you better not kill the groove. Hey, hey, hey. And
it's because we took a lot of ecstasy in the 90s.
Sophie Ellis Bextor.
Sophie Ellis Bextor.
Not what you were about to say, which was Sophie B. Hawkins. Very different.
But very similar name.
Yeah, they both are called Sophie. Yeah. I'll give you that much.
And the Dario G, Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Not a song that ever made it here, but to me, it's a hit.
It's very weird. There's a game that they play in UCB, like 101, 201 classes called, I think it's called Hotspot, where you have to jump in the middle and sing a song. And that game was very difficult for me because the music that I know is very different from the music that Americans know. And I was not fully aware of that until the humiliation of me very loudly singing a song that everybody was supposed to join in with.
You're like, you don't know this fourth tier. Oh my gosh, what was that girl group?
Bewitched?
No,
it's going to be a lot.
Oh crap, why can't I think of their name? It'll come to me.
All Saints?
All Saints, yes.
Great band.
That is. All Saints, there was an All Saints song on If You Wanna Have a Good Time. I Know Where It's At.
Oh, right.
I Know Where It's At was on the compilation as well. So that was like my intro to Britpop was like that double CD in particular.
There's one song that I found out that Americans had not heard of from this time recently called I'm Horny.
Oh, I know that song because that's like a freestyle song. It's like a kind of like a house music. House music. That song is great, but nobody knows it here. That song is amazing. Yeah. Genuinely, I love it. It's
the
on
chorus
a playlist.
Is just I'm horny, 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 horny.
Yeah, and
so horny, 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 I'm horny, 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 horny.
It's like. It's a great song.
It's great.
I think I know it. Yeah.
I have it on a playlist that is currently downloaded on my phone called I'll House You. It's all house music.
I am like, I don't know if I'd say obsessed, but I really do love it when something like hits number one in the UK that is like truly crazy.
Oh, batshit. Like the Mr. Blobby song? Have you heard the Mr. Blobby song?
I looked it up. The first time, Siobhan, you and I interacted on Twitter was because I made a tweet about how.
Oh, I do love this tweet.
A song that was number one for 2 weeks in the UK. It knocked off John Lennon's posthumous, just like starting over right after he died. And it's called There's No One Quite Like Grandma. And it's a children's chorus singing this weird little song called There's No One Quite Like Grandma.
Grandma, we love you. Grandma, we do. Though you may be far away, we think of you. There's no one quite like Grandma, and I know you will agree.
It started a little thread where we were going back and forth, and the Blobby song does come up.
What is the Blobby song?
Well, Mr. Blobby was...
How do I tell you
the mythos also, of Mr. Blobby?
What's so great is that no one can say Blobby in a way that sounds more beautiful than you. Like, Mr. Blobby.
Mr. Blobby.
I was like, oh my gosh. Now I understand. In America, if they were like, and next up, it's Mr. Blobby. Like,
we'd all be like, boo. But in the UK,
Mr. Blobby? I'm like, yes. Who's this Mr. Blobby?
So he was a mascot on like morning young people's television, and then he was also
he's like Captain OG Readmore
I don't know
on
what that is.
A okay. game wow. show like it was one of those like he's in Mr. Blobby's career is going great because he's in like five different shows right now and everybody loves him
and he wears a an outfit he's like a monster outfit
and he has a monster outfit and he has some kind of voice changing
modulation.
Thing
it's like
and he just
horrifying.
Goes oh Blobby 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 Blobby
okay
and that's truly it and then the song is maybe
is
the worst
it.
Song I've ever heard.
How does it go?
Blobby,
Well, so this is, I'm going to show you what Mr. Blobby looks like.
Oh my God, he's terrifying.
He's also terrifying.
I did not think he would be smooth and bald. Yes. I will say that. I thought he was going
to
be furry.
He looks like those things that you would get in the 90s where you could like hold him in your hand and squeeze.
A stress ball with a face on it. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes as a country, we just go all in on a bit. And it's something that I love about England. Like, for there was one year on the X Factor where there were this pair of twins called Jedward. Jeremy and Edward, I think, but their band name was Jedward.
Clever.
They were the worst singers you've ever heard. But for some reason, as a whole country, we were all like, this is really funny. Yeah. We have to keep voting these
people. We love them.
And I don't think they won, but they came like second or third.
And they definitely have a career now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's so great.
Oh, man.
Yeah. England, it's just like funnier.
Well, and it's like,
people are funnier as a
well
an
because
average.
You as an average because there's less people there and there's a history of humor. I think in America we have there's too many people here and not enough cool people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the
base get it to
of
really make
white America
good.
Is Puritanism, and Puritanism is inherently unfunny, and that's why we kicked them out and made them come to a different country because they canceled Christmas, and we were like, no, fuck off.
Yeah,
go
it's
away.
Bad. It's bad. The core of our country is rotten. I'm worried. I'm sorry. I'm having it's a very hard week. It's a bad week.
It's not a good week
For our country. I'm not happy.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's talk about music while
we're
helping. The other song that you had brought up in this thread, Siobhan, was something called
Vindaloo
by
what
Fat
is this?
Less. Do you want to maybe listen to Vindaloo for a second?
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely legendary Y-E-S. Song.
Yeah.
This song genuinely gets me pumped up, and I listen to it sometimes.
Okay, let's hear
Vindaloo
by
this
Fat.
It's a football anthem.
Fat Less, and this
and that means soccer.
Yes, soccer.
This made me laugh, and I haven't listened to it since you had posted it. So
Vindaloo,
I don't remember what it was.
Is this gonna be racist?
No.
Okay, good.
Yes.
There's nothing more. A fucking football chant where you also say where you're from.
Yeah, I love football chants, and I feel like American sport is missing out on not having football chants. Because a bunch of big, strong men singing I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, which is a football chant in England.
What?
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, they do. They love a big chant.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be clear, this song was number one for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It
actually,
wasn't,
we played this
it was
on
not
the radio?
Number one for weeks. It was number two for weeks because number one was a re-release of Three Lions on a Shirt by the Lightning Seeds and two comedians who do football.
Wait, Three Lions on a Shirt?
Lions on a Shirt. It's all about football. It was during the World Cup.
Okay.
Good God.
Da, 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 da.
Okay.
30
now,
years of woe.
My question is...
Mm-hmm.
Was this played on the radio?
Constantly.
Really?
Constantly.
Like it charted, so it had to have significant radio airplay.
Oh, yeah. It was...
As did There's No One Quite Like Grandma, as did the Mr. Blobby song.
There was also, during Comic Relief, somebody did a music video to Show Me the Way to Amarillo, which I think is an English song. It's not it's a country and western song, but it is an English country and western song.
Perfect.
My brain's exploding.
Honky Cat is written by
Elton John.
You know, they've got a lot of
respect for country and western.
Joe Cocker was British. How?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I guess. I wonder, the thing too about the size of England also is that there can still be a national obsession.
Yes.
In a way that there is not in America anymore.
Right. Like, it's also just a small, like, it's not a tiny country. There's still 60 million or 70 million people that live there, but it's just so much more compact.
Yes.
And so that there is more, for want of a better word, cross-contamination.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to self-segregate in this country, but in England, you're everywhere. I'm from the other side of the country to London, and it's 2 hours away.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And there are just like cultural institutions that, like, you were like comic relief. Like, right. People still watch it. They still pay attention. They're, like, the biggest comedians are still on it. Yeah. Like, what do we have here? We have comic relief too, right?
I don't know what we still do.
I think that it came back for a reason.
Katrina, but then I don't know what it stayed.
But it's just like we don't do that we have comic stuff relief anymore.
We did for a hot second, the way we do with a lot of British things that we still we do it for, and we get like excited about it.
Because like for the longest time, England only had 5 channels, and also Radio 1 is like a huge incubator of new music. Radio 1, I mean, first of all, their DJs genuinely love music; they're not just there for fame-based reasons. Mm-hmm. It's like, I am fascinated by this, and this is a thing that I care about. But also, they have a lot of rules around, they have to have a certain number of British artists playing, mm-hmm. which means that they find a lot of new British artists, and they're very good at finding new work and highlighting that.
And also, there is one radio station that the whole country listens to.
Right.
They all agreed we're going to continue to listen
that
to this.
That is good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And we like
it. It's very interesting. It's more a monoculture in that way. And we don't really have... I work for British people. And
gross.
Yeah, I know. But my boss was talking about a Christmas number one. He was working on a film about like a Christmas number one. Uh-huh. And that's such a big thing in the UK.
Oh my God, the Christmas number one is major. And also, again, sometimes a bit, because people are like, wouldn't it be funny if we got this song from 1973 to number one? Everybody go out and buy it. And sometimes it happens.
So the Christmas number one is literally just the number one album on Christmas.
The number one single on Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
is
There's No One Quite Like Grandma would be an example.
Oh, yeah.
Like
perfect.
A Christmas number one. It's so interesting to me. Like, we don't have that cultural, like, monolithic thing. Also, you were talking about football chants, and I just think maybe it's because we have, like, cheerleading here, which is bad.
It's bad, and also doesn't hype anybody up. Well, like nobody's like, I was bored of this game, but these girls are dancing, so I'm more involved.
They led us
somehow.
To cheer.
Yeah. I feel like a halftime show or like dance. I feel like cheerleading is a skill in and of itself, but I do not feel like the actual leading of cheers.
No, because they're not actually leading cheers. Nobody's like, give me an A. A. I'm giving you an A.
Yeah. Yeah, listen to what the cheerleaders are saying. Right. They will lead us.
Well, and I mean, I guess different football, like different sports teams have their own songs. I remember when the Blackhawks were doing well and Chelsea Dagger was like their song. That that song was really big in Chicago for a while, but we don't, I don't know.
Black and Yellow by Wiz Khalifa is a Steelers
anthem, yes.
Yeah, and that went to number one. That's like the closest thing we've gotten is
but
Wiz
it's just,
Khalifa.
We don't really have that stuff. I don't know. Yeah. That's a sidetrack,
well,
but
you haven't
I
lived
was
until
interested.
You've heard 100,000 Liverpool fans sing You'll Never Walk Alone in their gruffest Liverpool accent.
What's You'll Never Walk Alone?
It's a song from the musical Carousel.
What?
Is the Liverpool...
That's the Liverpool anthem, like Liverpool Football Club.
Hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark.
Yeah, I do know that song.
A hit single.
Wow.
Yeah. Huge.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, usually the sports songs we have in America are songs that had already existed and then we repurpose them.
Right.
Like Seven Nation Army or like Gary Glitter's Rock and Roll Part 2.
Oh my God, problematic.
Which is very problematic because he is another
pedophile.
Wait, really?
Oh my God. Ugh. Major.
Nearly, I believe it was like in Singapore or somewhere, he nearly was executed by firing squad.
I mean,
well,
good. He should have been.
He should be. Wait.
Yeah.
He's in prison.
I say that without knowing what happened, but it really sounds
No. He's one of those guys that's like, I'm going to move to Thailand so I can fuck a bunch of children.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad guy. But he's behind bars, I believe.
So he's not seeing any of these residuals.
Well, the thing is, sports arenas have phased that song out so they don't have to pay him.
Great.
You know, and there's a great Joan Jett song called "Do You Want to Touch?" That's a Gary Glitter cover.
That song kicks ass. Oh no!
So like, people can't play that song either.
God damn.
Like there was a like touchscreen Apple commercial that had that Joan Jett song in it.
Yeah.
But people got upset because they're like, "This is sending a lot of money to Gary Glitter."
Jesus Christ!
So we have to put the kibosh.
I'm just like, shouldn't they just donate all the money he makes to, like, you know, right, victims' causes? Exactly. That's why I'm like, the court should force him as part of his sentencing to
Any publishing goes to
That's a very creative sitcom style.
I know. I'm like, wow, wouldn't it be great if XYZ?
But unfortunately, just the way that works is, like, if you start to do that, then, like, you know, every person, every... people are going to try to find a way to fuck over artists. Like, if you if you decide that you can take someone's publishing and divert it someone else, then that will be used. Even though it's supposed to be used for good, you know, it'll eventually be used for evil.
One of the great tragedies of
musical theater
is that the guy that wrote Oliver, huge hit.
Uh-oh.
The huge song?
The musical Oliver. The whole musical Oliver.
The very first musical I was ever in?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Strap
Don't you love it?
Strap in, Kristen.
I played an orphan in it.
Of course you did. Perfect. I also played an orphan.
Yeah.
So they, he wrote another musical called Twang. This time, I think, with two exclamation points instead of just the one.
Uh-huh.
Sold the rights to Oliver so he could put this musical up. All of the most famous comedic minds in British television and theatre were in this show. The greatest composer of British musical theatre at that time. Show lasted for 9 days, I think, and then closed. And then he no longer had the rights to Oliver and had lost all his money on this show. And then that's it.
Okay, he's not like a pedophile.
I was waiting for him to be a pedophile,
but I don't think he is. I think he's just a sad, broke man.
Please don't ruin Oliver for me. That Oliver is like a big deal, but it did, you know, change the course
Oliver.
Of my life.
I think it's great.
That's all.
No big deal. It's just like... why I'm here,
set
living
me on
in
a
LA.
Course. Brought me to Hollywood. But another song that American sports arenas and teams have co-opted is Song 2 by Blur.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of.
Oh, wow. Is this a transition?
If I may, it's one of the great transitions that I'm doing right here, right now. But you chose Blur as the artist to discuss this week. And I'm curious what your connection is to that band.
Well, So in England, as a teen, the most important and first question that you would ask any other human being
was
Blur
or
Oasis.
Blur or Oasis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really very important. And you had to like both of them, but you had to pick a side. And I was absolutely a Blur girl.
Mm-hmm.
I love them so much. Also, low-key, they're very dreamy.
Yes.
Not a big deal, but they are.
Damon.
Oh my God, he's so dreamy.
Yeah.
First album you bought?
First album I bought, The Great Escape, which I genuinely think is like a next level great album. And every time I listen to it, I'm like, yeah, this is great. It's just really
great. It holds up.
Every song is like, it's such a weird album.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to it coming over here and I was like, none of these are love songs. Every single one of these songs is a sketch about a shitty type of dude. And like, what a great, absolutely. There should be more albums about shitty types of dude.
Because is Park Life on that?
Park Life is not. Park Life is on Park
Own
Life.
Album.
Oh, because I'm like, man, Park Life is also a sketch
which
about
is
a
also
shitty
a sketch
dude.
Yeah. But like, and then Girls Who Like Boys Who Like Boys Who Like Girls is also about a shitty type of dude, but
Country House, I think, is about their manager.
Yeah. There's one song that's supposed to be about, what's the guy that directed Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels?
Oh, Guy Ritchie.
Charmless Man is about Guy Ritchie, apparently. Stereotypes is all about shitty suburban people swinging in the suburbs because everything is boring. It's very fun. Arnold Same, they just got the mayor of London. I don't know if he was the mayor of London at the time, but he just talks on the album. He just talks a poem out that they wrote.
They would do that.
Yeah.
My familiarity with Blur is, once again, always through an ex-boyfriend. just always. But the songs that I can identify are, obviously, like Boys and Girls and
Girls and Boys.
Girls and Boys. Joe.
I don't want people to come after you on Twitter. I'm here. I'm protecting
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you are. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. Before we really go into this, I just have to say, I am so bad at remembering names and I'm going to fuck it up.
Oh, don't Perfect. Worry
so
about it.
So eat my dick.
Our fans are nice. They're not they're not a part of that type of call out culture. Uh-huh.
Great.
Correction culture, if you will. Boy, Girls and Boys, Park Life.
Song 2, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And then, gosh, I'm trying to think of what else I know of Blur. Because the thing is, even though in America it was not Blur yeah. Oasis, it was like, who's Blur? Hell right. yeah, Oasis.
Oasis all the time. All Oasis.
Like Oasis 24
Everybody
hours a day.
Singing Wonderwall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like that whole album
right.
like came out at a time when everybody was really buying CDs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had
Oh,
that
I bought
on
the
CD.
Shit out of that CD.
Yeah, but I did not have any Blur CDs. I got into Blur kind of retroactively through singles.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those bands as well. I feel like Pulp is like in that.
Yeah.
Suede.
Yes.
Yes. All groups that really don't have an imprint yeah. on
they
American
just didn't.
Culture.
And what? I feel like The Great Escape and then the Pulp album. Fuck, what's it called?
The one that has Common People on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are both albums about class warfare, which yeah. is very fun.
Yeah, and maybe not a subject that Americans
yeah.
are ready to
we're ready
dive
for
into.
Yet.
Yeah, it's ready for, I feel like America is getting ready
later,
for 1996
booyah,
British
we're about to.
Like right now?
Right now,
yeah,
they're like, wow,
I mean.
This socialism thing is maybe a good idea. So like, if you're feeling that, maybe go and listen to some Pulp and some Blur.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've talked about how confusing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is and, like, mm-hmm. why it exists and for what reason, who makes the decisions. And it is all kind of shadowed. It's all in
shrouded?
Secrecy. Shrouded. That's what I'm looking for. It's all shrouded in secrecy. But I have done my best to put together a list of categories.
Great.
Where I think if you do well in these, then you have a good case for induction.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we will evaluate Blur by those categories.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. A break. Wow. We really are back to the...
back to the old habits. All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a nice break. I hope that during your break, you were able to look into things like class warfare and socialism
yeah.
if you don't
Power
know anything about
people.
It. And that hopefully maybe you learned something not only about history, but about yourself.
Yeah, maybe you formed some opinions that you want to tweet out.
No.
Nah, don't do that.
No.
All right, so let's go through these categories with the band Blur. And, you know, with a lot of these categories, I think there's going to be a lot of like... Yes, in England.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's talk about critical acclaim. That's the first category. Uh-huh. And yes, in England. Not to say that American critics didn't embrace Blur. I actually think that they did. And there's a lot of...
I bet Pitchfork is real wet for Blur.
Oh, for sure.
There's no way that Pitchfork isn't
especially because
super into
of
Blur.
The whole Oasis versus Blur kind of like dichotomy. It's much cooler to say that you like Blur.
Right.
Because they were not as popular.
Now it is.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It's a weird thing kind of reading about that because there was this thing where they released singles, like among their first singles on the same day. And it was this battle of Britpop.
Oh, yeah. I also feel like a lot of people in America have gotten into Blur retroactively through the Gorillaz.
Yeah.
Who are much bigger in America.
Which is just Damon Albarn again, because everybody else in it is like a revolving door. He's the only consistent. It's him in
a bunch of cartoons.
Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about, him in a bunch of cartoons? It's just cartoons.
Yeah, just a bunch of cool cartoons. Well, none of those cartoons have people behind them. They're just
created out
of nothingness.
But yeah, the Battle of Britpop was...
it was huge. And I feel like Oasis...
And Blur won it.
I think that they did, although Oasis... I mean, I love Oasis still. The thing that I think is fascinating is that Oasis has such a reputation of being, like, shitty people. But Blur, they're definitely shitty people as well.
Do they suck too?
I don't think that they suck. I think that it's fun that they're shitty.
Yeah.
They're certainly not
humble.
But
they're definitely not humble, and they're definitely, like, Damon Albarn has been very snobby about, like, you shouldn't be in a band if you can't read music.
which I think I'm pretty sure Oasis are not people who can...
They're not classically trained.
No, whereas Damon Albarn was like, I'm going to write an opera for the English National Opera that's all in pentatonic scale.
Oh, right. Damon.
Yeah, it's like, all right, calm down. We all know you're smart. You don't have to play it so hard.
Wow.
And he said something very early on in their career where it was like, I think it's our third album where we're really gonna break through and it's gonna kind of change things. And he said this before their first album.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of right though.
Yeah.
The battle of Britpop was Country House versus Roll With It. And Country House sold about like 50,000 more singles, and it was like, okay, Blur is winning, but they say
Roll With It is also the worst album, like, song on that album.
Yeah, I'm like, God, I was like, weird choice. You gotta roll with it, man, you gotta take it down, I hate that song. I don't hate that song.
No, but it's
it's
a filler.
Of their songs that we know and love.
Yeah. Right.
But they say Blur won the battle of Britpop, but Oasis won the war.
Yeah.
Especially because things really took off for Oasis in America.
Yeah. And I actually think that Blur's later albums suffered for that. Like, I think after The Great Escape, they became more generic and more mainstream.
They were influenced more by kind of American underground music.
And I think that's when, like, with Beetlebum and Song 2, America started paying attention and it was paying off for them. But I think that their music is much less interesting later on.
Mm-hmm.
So the critical acclaim is there.
Okay, so do they have any albums on the charts?
The thing is, on like the list, you mean?
Yeah, on the list.
The thing is, they don't in Rolling Stone.
Oh.
Rolling Stone doesn't kind of acknowledge them in any of their big lists. But
Rude.
If you go to like...
That does not bode well.
NME.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you can't... It's like too much Blur on their list.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't obviously reflect anything that the Rock Hall is going to do. Whereas Rolling Stone's more of a... More connected.
Okay, new Music Express.
New Music, everybody.
Hey
guys, everybody, come in here. This is New Music. I think it is Express.
Sure. And then let's talk about. I mean, we're talking about the list. Do they have what you would consider to be classic albums? And again, in England, it's like nearly that whole stretch from, you know, probably starting with Modern Life is Rubbish.
Yeah.
Modern Life is Rubbish, Park Life, and The Great Escape are their like life trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is like extremely British and decidedly British. And then also, I would say the self-titled, which is the one that has Song 2 on it. And Beetlebum that came after that, I would also probably put in that category of classic albums. But in America, unfortunately...
Was Beetlebum ever popular here? Is this a song that we're talking about?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because it's kind of a dirge, am I right?
Beetlebum? Do you want to listen to it?
Yeah, I do. But I just to see if I'm remembering the correct song, because I think it's kind of a dirge. Yeah.
But for them, it was like... Blur's back in England when Beetlebum came out. It was like such
because it was a long time. I think also it was like 3 or 4 years between Great Escape and Blur,
and like the kind of Britpop thing had faded, and then they had like come back, like, hey, here's our second act in a way. And this was not one that took off in America.
This is a dirge. This is a dirge. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, we got some dirgy-ass dirging around here, and it never picks up, right?
And okay, there's also there's so much distortion on the vocals on this album, which, for me, I was like, the best thing about Blur is their lyrics. I can't hear what they're saying. Why?
Yeah.
I want to hear the words that they're saying. They're good at the words.
Oh, Coffee and TV.
Yeah.
This is what this is reminding me of. Coffee and TV had that amazing video, that incredible music video with the milk cartons looking for each other. Oh. The strawberry milk looking...
Tragic.
Yes. And then they get run over. That was a great... I remember that being very popular in the late 90s.
Well, let's talk about... That's the next category, which is like recognizable songs.
Uh-huh.
So funny that I had to hear Beetlebum to remember the song Coffee and TV because it has a very similar guitar line in it.
If we're talking about America, the recognizable song is Song 2.
Right,
that's a song that everybody knows.
Yes.
Then beyond that, I feel like most Americans just didn't come across any other Blur songs unless you were seeking it out. I think the only song...
Or if you were watching a lot of MTV in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're watching the cool shows on MTV.
Late night shows.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I remember Coffee and TV, the music video was so popular. I think it might have even busted into TRL type of territory.
If I may, that's crazy. But...
I don't know. I really remember it. I wasn't like staying up to watch 120 minutes all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it still like, registered.
It still registered. It was around. So give me coffee and tea. Please tell me. I've seen so much. I'm going blind and I'm brain dead virtually.
I'd say the only other song that I knew about from Blur until I started like purposely diving in was There's No Other Way.
What song is that?
Which is like an early, it's from like their first album. Here, I'll play a little bit of There's No Other Way.
Okay. There's no other way, there's no other way. All that you can do is watch that way.
And I think it has also aged well.
This sounds like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
to me it sounds like.
I mean, this is just such a 90s Britpop type, big audio dynamite, or like.
It has a Clash feel to it.
Yeah, or like a Primal Scream.
Mm-hmm.
Were they British? Was Primal Scream British?
That sounds.
I think they were British as well. Yeah. This is a very, or like a Corner Shop, like all of those like
classic
90s Britpop type songs. That hurts. Was some like jangly Austin Powers soundtrack type, you know,
exactly.
Like,
right. One of the things 90s. That Tom York was railing against in this anti-Britpop screed was that it was pastiche, which I feel like I don't think it is pastiche. The best of it is not. Some of the bad stuff is definitely 1960s pastiche, but the best of it is taking sounds from the 60s and telling a whole new story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it was like kind of like the garage electro, know what I mean? It was like you took like kind of garagey music from the 60s and put a little electro in it
for the 90s.
For the 90s, baby.
Yeah, and it's,
gosh, that is like such a night, like just even the opening of that made me feel so 90s.
But so that's from kind of the American perspective. And then, I mean, we talk about Pitchfork. They did put Girls and Boys on their list of the Pitchfork 500. Looking for girls who are boys, who like boys, who be girls, who do boys, are their girls, who do girls, are their boys. Oh, I should be someone you really love. Which is a list they put out of almost like complimenting... the or insulting, LOL. The Rolling Stone 500 list, which is like a lot of songs from the 60s and 70s.
Right.
Pitchfork's list is way more contemporary and cooler, and they have Girls and Boys on there, and also a song called For Tomorrow.
What's For Tomorrow?
I don't know if I even know that song.
Friends, I've got just the thing.
You got it?
Yeah.
He's a 20th century boy. With his hands on the rails, trying not to be sick again, and holding on for tomorrow.
It's wild that this song...
Yeah, I mean, this sounds very 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really think that Great Escape is their best album, and it's not just because it's the first album of my book.
You know this one.
There you go.
I don't know this one.
Yeah.
At all.
I had to hit peak British.
This is the kind of song that you're at a pub and all the English people just like start.
Yeah, tune.
Like, wow, they're talking.
Absolute tune, mate.
Absolute.
Absolute tune.
Yes. Very much so.
Yeah, and just listening to them, you do hear. I mean, is Blur the most British band of all time?
Wow.
Ooh, I don't know.
I would throw XTC in there.
XTC, though, to me is not as, I guess,
Kristen,
I'm more familiar with.
They have a song called "Making Plans for Nigel."
I know.
Which
that's
might
one
be the
of
most
the songs
British.
I know.
I also feel
I
like
heard.
Slade is maybe the most British, just because of the how important the Slade's Christmas song is.
Mm-hmm. Who is Slade?
Slade. American audiences know like, Slade because Quiet Riot covered them. So they originally did "Come On, Feel the Noise."
Oh, okay.
So they're the apex glam, silly glam rock from the 70s.
To me, Slade sounds like it's going to be a soul band.
No, like, not at all.
Like Sister Sledge kind of thing, oh, I guess, is what. No.
It's glam
they're
pop.
They're like T-Rex, kind of yeah. Mott the Hoople.
Slade.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Slade is very British. Ecstasy.
What's their Christmas song?
We should play it.
Is yeah. Well,
see, Christmas songs are genuinely so important.
I
in the
know.
UK.
Well, that's. I mean, my
it's
boss was
cute.
Trying to explain this to me, and he was like, "You know, like Christmas number one." And yeah. I was like, no,
it's very important."
We have like 20 Christmas songs. The most recent Christmas song we have is "All I Want for Christmas Is You,"
yep. And we're done.
And we're done. That's yep. it. Well, and it's like because the Christmas number one factors very heavily into the movie Love Actually.
Yes,
which I think that people don't understand the importance of it to British
oh,
people.
It's huge.
Christmas number one.
Yeah, so their song is called Merry Christmas, Everybody. I'm pulling this straight from,
like
of
this.
Course, Top of the Pops.
Great. Classic. Aww. Little Jimmy Savile dancing with some suspiciously underage girls in the video. Ride a red-nosed reindeer.
What? Does it ride a red-nosed reindeer? Take me to the chorus, baby. Oh, I have heard this song. Probably while I was in the United
Probably.
Kingdom.
I mean, this is definitely...
I have definitely
just
heard
constantly
this.
On. Yeah.
This song is great.
It's great.
Why isn't this song big in America?
That doesn't make a ton of sense, right? Because we're in desperate need of Christmas songs
yes.
that don't suck.
And we love Christmas. Boy, we love Christ.
Christmas is great. But mm-hmm. in England, I think also Christmas is more of a secular holiday.
Yes.
Like
there hasn't been a war on it.
Right. nobody goes to church at all, really, in England. That's not true, but like much more true than here. And people,
yes.
It's just not a... We all go to church schools, and then by the time you graduate, you're like, all right, I'm done with church forever. Goodbye.
Yeah.
It's that song is so good.
It's great.
And it's nice.
It's a banger.
Yeah.
Will Slade get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? They won't.
They won't. No.
I think
is T-Rex in the Hall of Fame?
They're not, but there's rumors.
Because Def Leppard got in this year and they like kind of name-checked Mark Bolan.
Oh god, I keep forgetting that Def Leppard is British.
Yeah,
I know that mm-hmm. we could talk about. I mean, we were there. I just
well, that's the thing. Is,
it does seem weird. It
they're
does seem
not
wrong.
A Britpop band. At
no,
all. They're the least British
yeah,
band.
Yeah, they're the most
they're
American
the most American mm-hmm.
British
of band. British
bands. Yes, yeah, I would say that for sure.
Gosh,
who's the most British of American bands?
Green Day.
Yeah, probably.
Or I mean, I said that really fast because I said it earlier, but who else could I think of that might be?
Maybe All yeah. Saints, actually, because those two main girls are American in it. I
yeah,
think.
But they sound
they
British
sound
when they're
so
singing,
British.
And no American people know who they are.
Yes. God bless them.
I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
I like All Saints
oh, they
from,
were great.
From that genre.
Next yeah. category is commercial success, which... If
in
I may,
the UK.
In England. But, you know, eventually in America, especially off the strength of Song 2, you know, that album ended up doing very well.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, and like you had mentioned before, kind of retroactively, American listeners came back
yes.
to Blur and did all right. I mean, that the self-titled album went gold in America, which, you know... For a band that's supposed to be huge, not great.
Yeah.
You know, it's not platinum. And then nothing else really hit any distinction.
And self-titled is the one with the Greyhound running really fast on the front.
No, that's Park Life.
That's Park Life. That's
is,
the one I can picture. That's
it's
the
like
album
pushing
cover I can
a
picture.
Gurney.
Oh, nope.
Yeah.
No way, man.
Sorry.
Only the Park Life cover is the one I know. Also, I think Park Life is a great song. That's probably
yeah.
my favorite
Park
Blur song.
Life is really good and really weird.
Yeah.
And a great karaoke track.
Yes.
As long as the other people that,
you're doing karaoke with are cool and no songs.
Yeah. It's a great, well, and it's also a fun one that, like, you know, it's a weird sing-talk sketch of a sad
man.
There's so many sketches.
Yeah. It's like a secret sketch album.
But then with a great chorus, like a real sing-along chorus.
It's really hard to be sad and listen to Park Life and still be sad.
Yeah.
And I've tried, believe me.
It's funny, too, because it's kind of a sad song. I mean, it's about a sad
Just a man that hangs out in a park. Yeah. But he lives his best life.
He's happy with it.
He's so happy. Like, he loves living his park life.
What does he say? And for a moment, there's a part
of it. I'm happy for the rest of the day, knowing that there'll always be a part of my heart devoted to it.
Yes. And that makes me feel like maybe sometimes I just need smaller goals.
Right. Go to the park and feed the pigeons. And then.
Yeah.
And that's got some pretty British lyrics.
Awaken by the
gas. I put my trousers on, have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. You should cut down on your pork life, mate. Like, get some exercise.
Yeah.
Next category is longevity, which is where I think they do pretty well. I mean, they've had some periods where they were gone.
Yeah, they just released a new album like a couple years ago, I think.
Did they? Listen to it. Do you mean the Magic
Whip?
The
one with the ice cream on the front that 2015? I have not listened to?
Yeah.
They're all now sober, so who knows if they're good.
Oh, no.
But, you know, they had a run there of, you know, all the 90s, basically. Yeah. You know, that Leisure was 91, and then Think Tank was 2003.
I think it's Leisure, mate.
Oh, that's Leisure. Leisure.
Like the Leisure Center. You guys don't have Leisure Centers here.
Apologies.
What's the equivalent of a Leisure Center?
Rec Center.
Rec Center, okay. Rec Center. You were like, what's the equivalent of a Leisure Center? I was like... Whorehouse? What are you describing?
No, it's like a
place with a pool in it.
Yeah, like a rec center.
Innovation influence.
A park district
is another category, and one where I think they do quite well. Yeah. I think the Blur influence on bands that Americans do know, like the aforementioned Coldplay, nearly I would say every band that came out of Britain after them has to. You know, tip a hat to,
like,
Blur.
Even if it's just Radiohead saying we hated Blur, so we did something else.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they also
there were contemporaries, I understand. Yeah. I just mean, like, you know.
You can be influenced by your contemporaries.
Yeah. Well, and you can be influenced by things that you don't like.
I definitely have moved to places in my career out of spite for people who were at the same place in comedy as me. It's like, oh, this person's succeeding? Fuck them.
Yeah.
Go in this other direction that's completely different.
And then the last category is, does my mom know who they are?
Does your mom know who Blur is?
I don't think so.
Ooh, I wonder if my mom does.
I would say pretty definitively,
I don't know,
especially because my mom was born in New Jersey. So I'm going to go ahead and say she doesn't know. So
my mom might, so I'm going to ask.
Interesting. We'll get our responses when we get them, if we get them. But I think we're down to our verdict. Do we think Blur will get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? If so, when? And we'll start with Kristen.
Okay.
And it's do we think they will, should they, and if so, when?
Wow, we haven't done this in a while.
It's been some time.
We've been knee-deep in ceremony season. Should they? I say yes. They should definitely be in the Corridor of Fame for sure.
Which is what we've determined
is the British Hall of Fame.
Maybe that's what's missing in terms of...
They should definitely be in the Corridor. And I also think they should be in the Hall. Will they? I don't think so. I don't. I just think there's so many other bands that are more popular here, but they could. I guess if they did, I think it's going to be a while. I think we're looking at 15 years.
Okay.
If they do get in, unless they release something that becomes really popular again. If they have like a new release that breaks through and isn't nostalgic, then yes.
Interesting.
That's my thoughts.
Okay. Siobhan.
I think that the chances are slim. And also, if they get in, everybody will turn up but Damon Albarn.
Yeah, you think Damon...
I think Damon is thinks. Although, also their guitarist is like guy who owns a farm now.
Okay.
He's like very chill and like just owns a farm and makes cheese.
Is that Graham
Coxon? It's Alex...
James.
James.
Right. Who's the bass player?
Yeah, bass player.
Yeah.
No, he now makes very wholesome farm-based content.
Well, that's cute.
Aww. It's very cute.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't be fucked to turn up because also like, there's no context for it in England, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have learned that.
And I'm sure
that
like many other countries have equivalents of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and every now and again these big bands get like, hey, do you want to come to Australia and be awarded with some thing for
with
some
a, with the golden boomerang?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. And you're like, can't Australian... they just throw it to me? And they're like, no, because it would just at just a certain back. Point come
yeah.
back. And
yeah, so why bother?
Yeah,
send it out, grab on, ride it back to Australia.
Yeah. That's how you do it. That's how you get there. I've been.
I think Blur will probably not get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because of the anti-British bias, and not so much anti-British, but just like super, it's a super American thing. What I think would have to happen is it would have to be like maybe 20 years from now where the old motherfuckers who are who've got a big boner for the 60s are gone, and then there are
the young motherfuckers who have a big boner for the 90s.
Yes, exactly.
Truly.
That's what's going to happen. Well, we're I going from the 60s to the 90s. That's what the hall is going to be. It's like we've gotten some 70s.
We're kind of in the 80s. We finally made it to the 80s now, which doesn't make a ton of sense because the artists who are becoming eligible right now are 90s artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Blur became eligible 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they could have been inducted then or they could have been nominated or anything. But yeah, the hall is slow. It's a slow institution. So like it's only now that The Cure is being inducted.
Huh.
Or like Def Leppard, or you know, Janet Jackson, artists from the 80s that we're finally mm-hmm. getting. It's creeping
Bon
along
Jovi.
Very slowly. So I think it would have to take some time, and then the people in charge of the hall mm-hmm. need to be the journalists who can understand the importance of Blur without having to have been involved with it from like the Billboard charts in America.
And I wonder even like if they'll get nominated, you know?
I think
like you said, it is such an American institution, and I do feel like that there is a certain, I don't even want to say snobbery, because snobbery is not quite the right word, but there's like a protectiveness. I feel like that rock and roll is an American medium. And if you're mm-hmm. not doing it in the American way, then you're maybe doing it wrong.
Which is so interesting because the biggest rock band ever came out of...
I mean, two of the British biggest
I mean,
rock
our biggest rock bands tend to be not from America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and America tends to... Their big icons tend to be solo artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, I think...
It's because we're all so spread out. It's hard to form a community.
Well,
it's hard to form
Americans
a band.
Americans are just generally more individualistic,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think you have to work with other people if you're in a band.
Mm-hmm. And that's not the American way.
Not the American way.
No way, man.
Somebody in the somethings. That's the American way.
Right. Yeah. You have a band and you're like, okay, Mudcrutch, you can't be this, but you have to be called Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Right.
Mudcrutch?
That was his band, and they were like, you can't have a band. We want you. We think we can market and sell you as Tom Petty. And he was like, okay, but I still want to have my band. I still want to have a band. So then it was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
That's so interesting. Could you imagine if Mudcrutch was who
I know. I mean, it's a bad name for the type of music that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puddle of Mudcrutch.
But maybe something that's in the favor of Blur's chances is the fact that Roxy Music was inducted this year.
Oh, well, if Roxy Music is in, then Blur should absolutely be in. Come on.
But it took them a long time. They just got in this year.
Yeah.
So, which is like, if it happens to Blur, it feels like it'll also take them a
right.
comparable
in like,
amount
yeah, 10
time.
To 15 years, then maybe it'll be there.
But yeah, Roxy Music is very British and didn't do super well over here in terms of commercial success. So
yeah.
But let's say they do get in. Let's say they're getting in this year.
Great.
What,
as a for instance.
What songs do they play at the ceremony?
I mean, I think Park Life, absolutely. I mean, first of all, this is what I would want them to play. What mm-hmm. they would play is not necessarily these things.
Sure. And also, there's a little bit of influence from the hall of like
play this is your, what we want you
play
to,
your biggest yeah. stuff.
So I think Park Life,
not
song
for
two.
Roxy Music.
Yeah, Roxy Music made some wild choices.
Yeah.
They play, I don't know if you know the song In Every Dream Home, A Heartache, but it's a,
no, I don't
a
know
bizarre song about a blow-up doll.
It's like that a they, great. Spoken word.
Amazing.
Yeah. I blew you up, then you blew my mind. It's
then
weird.
You blew my
great.
Mind.
But you were saying Park Life, song two.
Maybe Coffee and TV, because
yeah.
it's so wild, because mm-hmm. I really don't think that that's that great of a song.
I love it.
But the
it.
Music video was so fucking good
it
that it really like transcended.
Video. And it's a fun, I mean, it's a very pop song.
Yes.
Like, that's a song you can sing along with. It's structurally very
yeah.
poppy.
And then, yeah, maybe Country House or...
Yeah, that's what I would think. It's hard to... I would trust you because...
I don't know the song Country House.
Lives in a house, a very big house
in the
country.
Oh, I do know that song.
Watching afternoon repeats and the food he eats in the country.
Lives in a house, very big house in the country. Watching afternoon repeats and the food he eats in the country.
Yeah, I do know that song, but not really. Like,
it's,
I've heard
again,
it, but
such
boy,
a
very
every single one of the songs on this album are them being a shitty little bitch.
Yeah.
And I love it so much.
I would say probably song two, Country House, and then maybe Girls and Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Girls and Boys. I would love it if they played Park Life. My votes are for song two. I think they end on song two,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Their opener end on it, yeah.
I think that they open on Park Life. And then okay. I think in the middle, they do Girls and Boys.
Mm-hmm. And they've been, you know, these ceremonies, they've been playing more than three songs.
Yeah.
I think There's No Other Way, just because it was from the first album and like it is a recognizable one.
I mean, I still don't recognize it necessarily. Like, we heard it.
You recognize the sound.
I recognize the genre.
The era.
Yeah, the era. I was like, oh, yes, this is the late 90s.
We're here. We're
wearing bright lime colors.
Yeah.
And
we've got a choker on. Our hair is in tiny butterfly clips.
Oh, my God, those butterfly clips.
They're
back, and I feel like it's the first time in my life where I'm like, oh, I remember this the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird when like a trend comes back, a trend that you watched people eventually make fun of, and then it comes back and you're like, but I know how this ends.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I
remember.
We're just going to make fun of this.
Uh-huh. I know. Well, I'm worried low-rise jeans
oh, my God.
Back,
the fucking
like,
giant
no,
belts
no.
that don't go in the belt loops over the top of the low-rise
my
jeans.
Goodness. I see pictures of myself from the late 90s, early 2000s. I used to wear my belts to the side. I would not wear them in the center.
Yeah.
I thought I was
so
very
cool.
alternative.
Mm-hmm. Wearing a little cami over the top of a t-shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
If Blur gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay, go ahead.
You don't want to talk about fashion?
Yeah.
Who inducts them? Who gives the speech?
I mean, it would be really fun for Oasis to do it, but they... absolutely
yeah,
still
never.
Fucking hate each other and it would not happen.
Who, because it's either, I mean, there's like kind of three categories. It could be an artist that influenced them.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a contemporary, or it could be an artist that was very influenced by
I
Blur.
Feel like Chris Martin could do it. Who did he induct?
He inducted Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel,
which
made
great. Sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot. Absolutely.
Who else? I think Chris Martin could do
Chris
it.
Chris Martin's a good one.
I feel like maybe somebody from the Gorillaz also... You know, one of those.
Tina Weymouth.
Is Tina Weymouth in the Gorillaz?
She played on that one album.
The second album, I think.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Could David Byrne induct them?
I don't know what his relationship is with him, if there's anything at all.
He used to be in a band with Tina Weymouth. They had a falling out.
sounds great.
I think that they also have made a lot of enemies. maybe Jarvis Cocker, I don't know, from Pulp.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if they're pals.
I wonder if...
they made a lot of enemies, but they made the charts in NME.
Nice.
There you go.
Thank you.
It's been stewing.
It just came to me right then.
Beautiful. I wonder if Mick Jones, who is the member of The Clash, who did Big Audio Dynamite, if he would be, if he has any feelings about Blur.
That would be, do you think that he would have negative feelings or positive
feelings? His side of The Clash, the songs that he did with The Clash, feel like you could draw a line.
Right, big time.
Or like, I don't know if Ray Davies gave a shit about Blur, but like, he's another one where you can draw a line from Blur back up to him singing about the Village Green, you know?
Kinks. The Kinks are definitely Blur influences, especially those weird Kinks songs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Mick Jones, you know, The Clash, blah, 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 big Audio Dynamite, has toured the world as part of the Gorillaz live band.
So, all right, then. That could happen.
Mick Jones seems like a good choice,
famous enough? Like,
I mean, he was in The Clash.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, he's not the famous one from The Clash.
No, that guy's dead.
Yeah.
Joe Strummer, unfortunately, isn't alive.
I know, but I just mean, like, I guess that's what I'm saying is, like, I don't know if he has the name ID to...
Yes, no, I feel that.
But it has to be a musician also?
He does not.
David Letterman inducted
Pearl Jam. Chris Rock inducted the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And Howard Stern.
Ooh, how about Lily Allen? I feel like Lily Allen definitely.
I do not think that people care about her here. Oh, I know.
She's very blurry. Yeah, like she had a heyday in that first album,
the mid-2000s here, but not since. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know that.
Yeah, that's
you're going to be able to pull Lily Allen.
Because the thing is, you need to have that American recognition.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, you want a good speech, but it's also bringing people into this ceremony.
I'm trying to remember what Lily Allen's big song was here. It was about hating someone, right?
Sure.
It was about, like, it was a really upbeat song about hating someone.
There's one about her riding her bike through the streets of London and everything's... It's like very
I believe
upbeat.
That is called Al Fresco. There's a part that she says it's like got simple rhymes, but it's cute. Yeah, exactly.
Danger Mouse played on some Gorillaz albums. Not
nobody knows what he looks like,
affiliated
right?
Affiliated with... You're thinking Dead Mouse.
Dead Mouse. But Danger Mouse also is not someone that people like know. Like, you know, he did an album with Jay-Z, I think.
Not officially, but...
But he did the Jay-Z
remix.
He
did the gray album where he took the black album and the white album. And mixed them all up together.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And made the damn gray album. Yeah, so I guess Mick Jones.
or Chris Martin.
Yeah, Chris Martin's probably the choice and the most obvious. Great. Well, if Blur gets inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, will you come with us to the ceremony?
Absolutely, I will do that.
Great.
That sounds like a blast.
If it happens to be in 20 years,
I can have some chili. What do they have in Cleveland?
I think her song was called Smile, because it's like when she thinks of you, Lily Allen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like because she hates him so much. And when she thinks about him, she smiles because she's not with him anymore. I knew that I was on to something.
The induction ceremonies go from New York to Cleveland back and forth every other year. Regardless of where we are, we'll get some chili.
Great.
We'll get some
famous New York chili.
We'll get a slop chili. A big slop
some
and heat.
Brooklyn chili.
Keeping slop.
Some Park Slope chili. Yeah. What am I doing?
Yep, you've lost it. Well, I think that about does it. Siobhan, thank you so much for joining us and talking about this band, talking about Blur. And helping us, I don't know if it's getting to the bottom, but just talking more
you
about
this. You know, and just thank you
British...
for giving me an opportunity to talk more about your junior my time abroad.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't just my junior year.
Where did you study?
I will... True, I've got my noose ready.
I was
my
living
head
actually
is entering
in Kensington.
Oh my God, so fancy.
So posh.
Oh my God, that's so bougie.
It's beautiful.
And I just need one of you to kick the stool out.
I also spent some time in Birmingham.
Siobhan, is there
that's where my dad is from, so I have also spent some time in Birmingham.
Where can we find you online? Is there anything you'd like to plug?
I am at Vorny Tom.
Let's spell that.
Spell that.
VORNIETOM. It's like my name is Siobhan Vorn. Funny.
But the thing
Tom
is, for Tom us, we're
but also
we're
the spelling is not useful because Siobhan is impossible. It's nobody can spell Siobhan, including me. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is it? Can I try? S I O B H A N.
I'm shocked.
Standard
is that
spelling.
It?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct.
Spelling.
Okay. Yeah.
Great. So when you say Vonnie Tom, the R is floating somewhere.
Oh yeah.
There,
well, we don't really. We're not big on R's.
Pronouncing that R. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anything you have coming up?
I'm on a D&D show called Dimension 20, which is super fun. I think the second season is coming out next month.
Okay.
First season is already out. You can watch the first eight episodes on YouTube, and then the rest are on College Humor's
app, is that Brennan? Which is called Dropout. Yeah, it's Brennan Lee Mulligan.
Cool.
He's a good boy.
Yeah, he's nice. I like him.
And then you can contact us at RockHallPod on Twitter and RockHallPod@gmail.com if you want to send us a message. If you want Kristen to read it, make sure to specify that. Otherwise,
I had a message forwarded to me today.
We sure did.
I read it. Thank you. Hello.
Thank you to Pantheon Podcasts for hosting us. That's a new thing for us, so that's exciting.
Yes.
Review us on iTunes and all that. Subscribe, 5 stars only, do all that. And thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo, Yusu Kim for the music. Thank you to Joey Devine for the equipment. And thank you to Chad Briggs and James Patterson for letting me record in the home that we share together.
Thank you to the city of Los Angeles for bringing us all together on this fine day.
And thank you to our friends across the pond.
Thank you for the music. Singing.
There's no
it's
one.
Probably a Christmas number one at some point.
Quite like grandma. I'm Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Studdard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.